Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the introduction, Dr. Zempiri. So today we'll be presenting one review that we have been conducted with Dr. Sara and Dr. Zempiri, titled "Shifts in Soybean Yields, Nutrient Uptake, and Nutrient Stoichiometry," and it's an historical synthesis analysis. Okay. So as an introduction, we know that in the past century there have been increase in soybean yields, and that can be related to improvements in genetics, management practices, and environmental conditions. Talking about genetics, we know that long seed filling periods or resistance to diseases, there are two main causes that we can mention. Instead of environmental conditions, we can mention, for example, the increase in CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere, and management practices, all the changes in seeding rate, row spacing, and for example best management practices for fertilizers. But what about the nutritional status of the crop, and what about what happened across the year with the seed composition? We tried to do a review to respond, to give an answer to these questions. So in other crops like sorghum, corn, wheat, and legumes, and other oil seed crops, there have been some reviews that took a look to the what happened to the nutrient composition of the plants and the seeds. But for soybean, there was not an integrated approach that take a look to nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in an historical way. So our research question was if there is any change in internal efficiency in soybeans for nutrients, and if those changes affected the soybean seed nutrient concentration. So the objective of our review was to characterize historical shifts, internal efficiency, seed nutrient concentration, and we will be talking about nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, and nutrient stoichiometry in soybeans. Okay. So for this, we select synthesis analysis. We established some search criteria to look for papers. There was papers that contain seed yield, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium concentration in seeds and stover, and total biomass production. Okay, so our database goes from around 1920 to 2016, and we decided to separate it in different eras. That goes from 1920 to 1996. That is the first time that a GMO soybean was introduced to the market here in the U.S. There, number two goes till 2006. That is when 50% of the U.S. market was with GMOs soybeans, and then era number three. And we also decided to do this way to try to have a more balanced amount of points in the different eras. Okay. So the traits that we estimate from the database was harvest index as the ratio between seed yield and total biomass, nutrient harvest index as the ratio between seed nutrient uptake and total nutrient uptake in the plant, a nutrient seed concentration defined as the nutrient seed uptake and seed yields, and finally nutrient internal efficiency as the ratio of seed yield and total nutrient uptake. Okay. So let's go to see some results of this review. What you are seeing here is a graph. In the x-axis we have the time from 1920 to 2010, and the y-axis we have seed yield, and we can clearly see what we were expecting, an increase in yields among the years. And then if we plot the same way biomass, we are seeing that also the slope here was positive from 1920 to 2010, and harvest index was also positive. The color of these lines when they are green means that we did an analysis of the slope that was different from zero, and this case was positive. But besides this, we'll try to quantify, okay, what was the amount of changes in yields. So it was 3.6 times the change of yields from the beginning of the study to 2016. The biomass change was four times folded, so 410% from 1920 to 2016. And we are seeing that the harvest index increased, but only in a 23% from the first points to the last points of our database. So one of the main conclusions that we have here is that yield increased and was mostly driven by changes in biomass in soybeans. Okay. The same analysis I show before we did for the other traits that I show in the methodology, for seed concentration, stover, nutrient concentration, nutrient uptake, harvest index, and internal efficiency. And what you will see here, if is a sign, if this positive means there was no change in, for example, nitrogen seed concentration, this red and negative means that that trait decreased across the time. And if this green, you will see there was a positive increase. In this case, for seed, we did not find any change for N and K, so the slope of those relationship that I showed before will be no different than zero. For stover, we are seeing that in nitrogen keep constant, but was a decline in phosphorus and a big increase in the potassium concentration in stover. For nutrient uptake, we see that was positive for all of them. Okay, so it was a two-time fall increase in nitrogen. Potassium was really huge, the amount of change in concentration in the whole plant, mainly in stover. And in harvest index, we see that for nitrogen and phosphorus was also positive, but negative for potassium. And the last trait, that is nutrient internal efficiency, for nitrogen, we are seeing that was positive, also for potassium, but negative for phosphorus positive and negative for potassium. So if you see for nitrogen, that we'll be focusing on this presentation, seed and stover concentration remain stable, but the uptake increased, and that did that the nutrient harvest index was positive, and we increased the efficiency to keep that concentration in the seed constant. Okay. So as a conclusion of this slide, the nutrient uptake was positive for NPK, and harvest index increased only for N and P. We'll be focusing to what happened in seed concentration and nutrient internal efficiency, and same approach that I showed in the second slide. We plotted what happened to seed nitrogen concentration, potassium, and phosphorus, and we are seeing that average concentration for nitrogen was 5.8. For potassium decrease, at the beginning we have 0.8 going and fell down to 0.53, is around 30% decrease, and potassium remains stable in around 1.74 milligrams of potassium per 100 grams of seeds. Same approach for nutrient internal efficiency. Change increased in around 25%, from 10.3 to 12.8. Internal efficiency of phosphorus goes from 80 to 138 kilograms of seed produced per each kilogram of phosphorus uptake by the plant. And internal efficiency, as I mentioned before, dropped from 34 to 26 in the case of potassium. So this is the conclusion of this slide. The seed concentration, as I mentioned before, for nitrogen and potassium remains stable, and the internal efficiency increased for nitrogen and phosphorus and decreased for potassium. The last part of my presentation will be focusing in nitrogen specifically and what happened with internal efficiency. And for that, we plotted total nitrogen uptake counted in the plant in the x-axis and seed yield in the y-axis. And what we did here, we are taking a look to the eras. Different colors means eras here. 2007-16 is era number 3, in red number 2, and in yellow number 1. And we conducted analysis between those eras to see if there were difference in the slopes between them. And since we did not have difference between era 2 and 3, we pulled together those groups, and we plotted this linear function here. And that is showing us that the error number 1 deficiency was around 9 kilograms of seed per kilogram of nitrogen, but pulling together the last two errors, that increased to 12 kilograms of seeds produced per kilogram of nitrogen uptake. And if we can see here, we plotted also the maximum nutrient dilution and the maximum nutrient concentration. And for example, we can see that at 400 kilograms of nitrogen, we can produce around 2 or almost 7 megagrams of seeds, and so that will give us the high dilution in this section and high concentration in this section of the graph. Okay, So modern varieties, we can conclude that use nitrogen more efficiently. They produce 12 versus 9 kilograms of seeds per kilogram of nitrogen uptake by the plant. So some conclusion of this work that I presented today. The seed yield was increased in soybean, driven by mainly by high biomass. The seed concentration, as we mentioned before, for nitrogen and potassium remains stable, but for phosphorus decreases among time. And the internal efficiency increase for nitrogen and phosphorus, but decrease for potassium. And going deeply, what I show in the last graph, that internal efficiency was driven by yields, because we saw there was an increase in yield among time, and nitrogen harvest index was the factor that we test that explained more that change in yields. With that, I would like to acknowledge the research collaborations and the funds for my project, and thank you for your attention. I will be glad to take any question.
So we have time for questions.
Thank you, Guillermo. I'm not sure to understand exactly what each data point represents in your figure. Are they cultivars released at different time, or they are papers published at different time?
See, the question is what those points in the graphs are representing. So I didn't mention this in the methodology, but we look for papers, and then we look for all the values in the paper, and those values are the ones plotted in this graph. So if from one paper we retrieve, for example, I think in total we kept 30 papers. So each paper, some of them will give us 20 points, 10 points, whatever. And we also include in that information that was not published, so trying to avoid a little bit the publication bias. So that answered your question. Those points were treatment means.
In 2000, for instance,
yes.
The points in there are points from a paper published in 2000.
No, okay. So the question I understand now is when those points, the year that we put in those in the x-axis is the year where the study was conducted, not the publication year.
Doesn't matter, but if the study was conducted in 2000,
yes.
But the study included cultivars released in 1920, the point is in 2000 and not in 1920. And if the conclusion is that modern cultivars are more, and the actual, if I understand well, the actual conclusion would be cultivars published in paper including studies running in 2000 are more efficient. And that's a mix up of efficiency there.
Yeah, I don't have on top of my head now, but I don't know if we, yeah, there was one paper, but usually we try to keep the cultivar year, because that was the criteria to differentiate. If the cultivar was released before that, we put in the year that was released. Okay. Thank you.
Any last question for Mr. Aguar?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Guillermo.